This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Inna alhamdulillah wa bihi nasta'in. Wa salatu wa salam ala sayyid al-mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Thank you very much for inviting me and giving me a chance to speak to you. I don't think I ever get used to standing on the same podium with people whose lectures I used to watch when I was, you know, a new Muslim in the late 1990s. But I'll do my best to take advantage of being up here. I was asked to speak about this ayah in Akramakum Indallahi Atqakum. Indeed, the most noble amongst you in God's eyes is the one with the most piety. In the context of America, and in the context, actually, unfortunately, of the Muslim world, many parts of the Muslim world, what this brings up most immediately into my mind is the issue of race. I don't think it's putting it too tritely to say that racism is a despicable and ignorant phenomenon. It's ignorant because the idea of judging somebody by their outer appearance undervalues, dismisses everything that's good about a human being on the inside, their personality, their character, their relationships, the knowledge they have, the wisdom they have to offer, their skills. And I think one of the best ways to be cured of racism, at least for a moment, or at least for one person, is for Muslims to meet Muslim scholars, people who are glowing with knowledge, who have tremendous iman, whose barakah can be sensed. And what you immediately realize is it doesn't matter what this person looks like to you. It doesn't matter what color their skin is, because you love them for what they carry, what they bear, and who they are. So this is, for me, one of the most important things as a kind of arrogant white person, right? Former arrogant white person. I wonder if there's an acronym for that. But, you know, I think maybe learn to be more humble when I study with Muslim scholars in Egypt and other places. And I realized these people knew so much more than me that I didn't even know where to begin to be like them. And when I felt that experience, it didn't matter to me that this person was from another country or a different race or spoke a different language. I just had utter admiration for these people. I think this is a wonderful experience that you can have as a Muslim. Racism is despicable, and we know this from the Sunnah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. At one point, some members from the Aus and the Khazraj tribe, from the Ansar, were getting in a fight. They got an argument about their ancestry and their tribal pride during one of the Muslim campaigns. And the Prophet came out and said, "Hada muntin." This is muntin. Muntin is a word in Arabic, means filthy, stinky. This is just vile and despicable. It's one of the few times, I think maybe one of the only times that we have him record of the Prophet using this word, this very strong word. And he uses it to describe people's pride in their race. This is an extremely important issue for the American Muslim community, because American Muslims have tremendous assets, tremendous resource in the African-American community, in the African-American Muslim community. And unfortunately, it's still too common amongst Muslims who are from immigrant backgrounds or second-generation immigrants or random white converts like me, it's far too common that Muslims who are from these backgrounds look down on African-American Muslims, that they don't think that they're worthy of spending time with. They think that they're, you know, they're not important because they're poor, because they speak differently. This is pure and simple racism. It's absolutely unacceptable for Muslims in this country. And it's also a serious, tremendous waste of resources, because it's the African-American Muslim community who has the key, who holds the key to Muslims in this country for their way forward in the future. Muslims in this country are concerned about becoming recognized parts of this country, recognized citizens, having their interests, their concerns, taken seriously by policymakers, by the wider society. American Muslims are interested in protecting their civil liberties, protecting their rights before the law. These are all journeys, these are all struggles the African American community has already begun, has made tremendous progress in, and continues to struggle in today. Just before I came up here, I was speaking on the stage to Imam Johari Abdul Malik, an imam here in D.C. I learned more in just 5 or 6 minutes talking to him about organizing, about bringing Muslim, how a group comes together to gain influence, to gain power, to try and change the society around them. I learned more from just 5 minutes speaking to him than I could ever get reading books, or I could ever get speaking to any other Muslims I know. Because he comes out of the background of people who've already done this for decades. This is a tremendous resource for us. When I think about scholars in America, Muslim scholars, I think of people like Dr. Sherman Jackson at University of Southern California, a person who is an extremely learned Muslim scholar who has learned fiqh and theology and grammar and all the Islamic sciences, but also comes from an American background. And when he speaks about issues of ethics and belief and freedom in this country, people have to listen. Not just Muslims, but non-Muslims have to listen. If a Muslim who's of Arab background or South Asian background gets up and starts criticizing American foreign policy or calling into question the decisions of the U.S. government or the Justice Department, people think that they treat them with suspicion. When an African American gets up and says these things, people treat them as someone who has a right to say, make these criticisms, as someone who comes from a group that has been historically wronged. This is a tremendously valuable asset. These individuals in this part of our community are absolutely important, essential for the rest of the Muslim community to embrace. In fact, they are essential to be our leaders. Muslims need to look to African American Muslims for leadership, not only in scholarship, but in organization, in civil rights activism. The second thing I wanted to speak about has to do with the same issue of finding leaders who are going to help you stand up for principles and stand up for your communal interests, who aren't going to allow, let's say, individual leaders to go and break with what is for the benefit of the Muslim community, or what is true in our religion, just so that they can get some material gain or get invited to some dinner or get in a photograph with some politician. Okay. The most important thing for moving forward as a Muslim community is standing together and not being afraid to speak and stand up for the truth. There's so many things that Muslims care about, so many issues, whether it's what's happening in Kashmir, whether it's what's happening in Palestine, whether what's happening in other parts of the Muslim world, whether it's happening with Rohingya Muslims, or whether it's here in America, whether it's the Muslims who are targeted for entrapment by the Justice Department, or whether it's Muslims who are convicted of crimes that they didn't commit because the justice system is biased against them, because racism and stereotypes against Muslims are allowed to influence the outcome of trials. These are all things that Muslims care about as extremely important issues. But there are also things that are terrifying to speak about. It's scary to get up and speak out about Palestine. It's scary to get up and speak about how Muslims who are accused of terrorism might not be guilty and that we need to give them a benefit of the doubt. People need to have trials. It's scary to talk about criticizing the way a trial goes or the way a Justice Department works. This is a very scary thing to do. But it's also absolutely important for Muslims to do. And it's our rights as Americans. If you went and asked a random American person to give up their right to criticize a government or to criticize a certain policy or to say that they think that an injustice had been done by law enforcement, people would not give that right up. They'd say, no, it's my right as an American to do these things. Yet Muslims are all too often completely silent on these issues. They're silent because they're afraid. But fear is only an emotion. Fear is an impression that is created in you. It's used to control people. It's used to prevent them from asking what is rightfully theirs. It's American Muslims' right to have an influence on, or an input on the policies that our government pursues. whether inside this country or outside this country. It's our right to expect to be protected by law enforcement, not targeted by it. But until Muslims are willing to stand up courageously and speak about these issues, and to stand together in solidarity when one of their number is targeted, there will be no progress made on these issues. So I won't take any more of your time, but I'll simply leave you with what for me was an absolutely essential lesson to learn. The people in the Muslim community who are so often looked down upon in this country, African-American Muslims, not only are they brothers and sisters who have every right in Islam to be treated just like Muslims from immigrant backgrounds, okay, who deserve every to be integrated into activities with Muslims from immigrant backgrounds, but they're also the people who should be looked to for leadership. And this is something that, for me, has been inspirational, which I hope will you'll follow as well. Jazakumullah khair.